Today's reading begins in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. Genesis 32, verse 22. The same night he arose and took his wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to them, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, but have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. And Jacob lifted up his eyes, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants, and he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me, and at the pace of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Paddan Aram, and he camped before the city. And from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of money the piece of land on which he had pitched his tent. There he erected an altar and called it Elohe Israel. I'm going to pause there just to tell you that Elohe Israel means God, the God of Israel. Chapter 34. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the women of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he seized her and lay with her and humiliated her. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl for my wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter Dinah, but his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. The sons of Jacob had come in from the field as soon as they heard of it, and the men were indignant and very angry because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter. For such a thing must not be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him to be his wife. Make marriages with us. Give us your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves." You shall dwell with us, and the land shall be open to you. Dwell and trade in it, and get property in it. Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me for a great bride price, and gift as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to him, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we agree with you, that you will become as we are by every male among you being circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to ourselves, and we will dwell with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. Their words pleased Hamor and Hamor's son Shechem, and the young man did not delay to do the thing because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. Now he was the most honored of all his father's house. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of the city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, These men are at peace with us. Let them dwell in the land and trade in it, for behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men agree to dwell with us to become one people, when every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised. Will not their livestock, their property, and all their beasts be ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out of the gate of the city listened to Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. On the third day, when they were sore, two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and came against the city while it felt secure and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. All their wealth, all their little ones, and their wives, all that was in the house, they captured and plundered. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, You have brought trouble on me by making me stink in the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household. But they said, Should he treat our sister like a prostitute? So today's reading has a number of situations going on, but it's been leading up to this point. We saw from our last reading that he's preparing to meet his brother Esau. He has prayed to God about that meeting with Esau. He has prepared his company and his livestock and everything to meet up with Esau, knowing that he's coming with 400 men. And so he goes down to sleep, and here we have this situation of him wrestling with an angel. And this has always stood out to me as an interesting story, because it seems that Jacob has this anxiety about meeting Esau, and it's magnified by this situation in which he's wrestling with this angel. And he wrestles all night, as it states. But he won't let him go unless he blesses him. There's an interesting thought by Matthew Henry in his commentary on this section, in which he points out that any strong believer must also expect strong temptations and opposition. And it's interesting, because we do go against some very strong opposition at times. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4 speaks of this, saying, He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. He was able to prevail. He was able to keep his faith. And he goes on then to meet Esau the next day. He's still fearful in chapter 33, though. When Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming and 400 men with him, he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. He's still making this preparation. He's expecting Esau to still want to kill him. But when Esau comes, it's not what Jacob expects it all. Esau runs to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Remember, it's been 20 years. It's been a very long time. It's been long enough that maybe Esau's had some time to think about family, the importance of family, and his brother. He's also apparently seen some blessings from God as well, because when Jacob is offering him this gift of animals and such that were being brought to him, he said, I have enough. I don't need it. Of course, Jacob pleads with him to accept the blessing, and he ends up doing so. And Esau wants him to travel with him, but Jacob says, we can't go that fast. Otherwise, we will lose flocks and we will lose children. So Esau goes on ahead, and that's sort of the end of what we have in this section. Jacob goes in order to purchase a piece of land for them to dwell for a while. And then chapter 34, we have his daughter Dinah, who is defiled by Shechem. Jacob seems to handle this pretty diplomatically, but his sons are not willing to do so. They are indignant. They are enraged that their sister has been defiled in such a way. And I will say they had a right to be indignant. They had a right to be enraged at what was done to their sister. And so they come up with this idea in order to weaken the city so that they might all be judged or might have justice against them. They devise this idea of, hey, you know, if you really want to be, at peace with us, in a covenant with us, if you want to marry our daughter, then you're going to have be circumcised, and not just you, but all of your males. And they agreed to this. Of course, it seems like Shechem has to convince the rest of the city, but he does so. And while they're still recovering from that, they come in and slaughter them, and they plunder the whole city. And thus, they gained justice, yes, for their sister, perhaps more than justice, but the city was going to approve and overlook things because of one of their wealthy people. And verse 31 of Genesis 34, the question is said, should he treat our sister like a prostitute? No commitment, just completely following passions and defiling her, defiling them both. And Jacob is a little concerned about this. He says, you brought trouble, and if they really came to exact justice now against us, to come against us, we would be destroyed. And that's the end of our reading for today. So what kind of a thought will I leave you with for today? My mind keeps going back to trust. God told Jacob that he would be with him. He would bless him. He would watch over him, and things would go well with him. And he showed that with the dealings with Laban. But now on his travels, Jacob seems fearful on a number of occasions. I don't think it's a matter of he doesn't have faith in God, but I think it's a matter of just being a little unsure about what's going to happen. And I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the fact that we can have faith in God and still be unsure about how God is going to work for us. We can be unsure about what the future holds. But if we allow that feeling of being unsure to become stronger than our faith, then we will fail. We must not fail. We must stand strong. Stand strong today. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.